Well, thank you all so much again for taking the time to join us today for the Global Hidden Gems webinar. My name is Alexa Rowland. I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Officer, and I'm based here in our New York offices. And I'm joined today by my colleague, Michelle Balorchi, who is located in our DC office, also an Outreach and Recruitment Officer. And so we are wanting to kind of go through some opportunities and highlighting awards that you may not have considered, but that offer unique and compelling opportunities to engage with the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program for these grant durations. And so we'll start the webinar presentation by providing some background on the program, and then we'll move into some highlighted awards across world regions. And then lastly, we'll open it up for a Q&A. So feel free to write your questions in as we go through. Hopefully some questions will be answered via the slides. And if not, we will get to as many as we can. Another quick note just about this webinar is that it will be recorded. And it will be then archived and posted to our website where you can look at it at a later date should you need to. So great. To start us off, we're going to go into some history of the larger Fulbright program. So in 1945, after World War II, Senator J. William Fulbright of Arkansas introduced a bill that proposed using surplus war property in order to fund an increase in mutual understanding between people of the U.S. and people of other countries. So President Truman then signed the bill into law in 1946, and Congress created the Fulbright Program. The primary source of funding for the Fulbright Program is an annual appropriation by the U.S. Congress to the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, also known as ECA. And then our organization, IIE, administers the program on behalf of ECA here in the U.S., and we work with Fulbright commissions and post-U.S. embassies abroad to administer the program overseas. So overall, program eligibility requirements are shown here. Ultimately, you must be a U.S. citizen at the time of application. The other requirements are award specific, and if you've attended any of our other webinars or perhaps an informational session, you'll often hear it depends when it comes to Fulbright, largely being that many awards have their own kind of additional qualifications or eligibility requirements or expertise that they are particularly looking for. So you will want to ensure that you're taking a close look at those award descriptions within our catalog of awards. So some awards are open to professionals outside of academia, and there's also a way that you can have an advanced search feature in the catalog of awards to really find the awards that fit your personal and professional profile. Some awards are open to those who currently have their PhD or other terminal degree, and so on and so forth. Regarding teaching experience, each award does often list under the additional qualifications section how many years of teaching they would like each applicant to have, sometimes even including the type of teaching that they count towards the length of teaching experience. So again, as with all award requirements, if you have a question or are unsure of your eligibility, do feel free to send a copy of your CV to the appropriate program staff person who can help determine your eligibility for the award. Another quick note here, if you're a Fulbright Scholar alum, we do have a new policy in that you are eligible to apply again once it has been 2 years past your grant period end date. So just something to keep in mind. And so as I mentioned, the catalog of awards is where you will find the majority of the information regarding additional qualifications, grant length, duration, what have you, for the particular award. And also, as I mentioned before, there is an advanced search feature. So the basic search function, when you go to our awards.cies.org page, allows you to browse awards by region, country, and/or the discipline. And then the advanced search page, which is on the left-hand side of this, of the slide, but also of the website once you get in, allows you to refine your search by activity, grant length, degree requirement, category, professional profile, and invitation letter. So, again, as I mentioned before, each award has their own parameters and additional qualifications. So, including the awards that we highlight today, you will definitely want to take a closer look at the awards within the catalog in order to ensure it's an appropriate fit for what you're hoping to do while on this grant opportunity.
Great. Okay, Alexa. So let's start now with looking at some of the hidden gems in the Sub-Saharan Africa region. So the first one we have is in Mauritius. For those of you that don't know, Mauritius is located off the southeast coast of Africa, the continent. It's neighboring the French island of La Réunion. And it's an island that has about 1 million inhabitants, and it's well known for having a very politically stable, political and economically stable situation, rated number one in terms of ease of doing business in Africa. Now, the award that we have is a teaching and research grant for 6 or up to 10 months. And there are two potential university hosts identified. One is the Open University of Mauritius, and the other is the University of Mauritius. So finding a host institution is relatively simple. The award is open to all fields, but the following specializations are preferred, and those include economic transparency, entrepreneurship, transparency in the final sector, et cetera. So projects that also focus on topics of women in STEM or gender studies are also encouraged. So if you're interested in having a very transformative experience, and a unique experience in Africa, Mauritius would be the way to go. The other one I'd like to highlight is in Zimbabwe. It's also an All Disciplines Award for Teaching and Research. It's a 10-month grant, and although it does say a PhD is required, when you look further into the award description, they're also accepting applicants who have a master's degree and 5 years of teaching. So if you have a compelling project, and you don't have a terminal degree, if you do have the 5 years of teaching and the master's degree, you would be considered. All teaching will be in English. You don't need to have any other proficiency in any other language. A letter of invitation is strongly preferred, but it's not required. So if you don't have one by the time you submit your application, you would still be eligible to apply and be considered. So, in addition to the teaching and research commitments, the host is interested in having the scholar contribute to curriculum development, student advising, and mentoring junior faculty. And it's also worth noting that for all countries in the region, grantees can be reimbursed for school costs up to $12,500 per child or $25,000 per family for their accompanying dependents in grades K through 12. So the embassies there, the program, the Fulbright program in Sub-Saharan Africa is very supportive of scholars who bring their families with them. And so they do have a lot of benefits that you can read about in the award benefits, where the stipend is discussed in the award benefits tab in the award description.
Great. Thank you, Michelle. And now we'll move on to Middle East and North Africa region. So some hidden gems here, starting with the award to American University in Cairo for Egypt. So we are expecting to reopen the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program in academic year 2019-2020 and for this award. And the award to the American University of Cairo is the number one priority for the Fulbright Commission in Egypt. So it's open to one semester, which would be about 4 months, or 2 semesters, that's a 9-month grant length, for conducting research, teaching, or doing a combination of activities of both teaching and research. A letter of invitation is preferred for this award, but it is not required, so it makes it a good contender for this August 1 deadline coming up. The language of instruction is English, so no Arabic language skills are required. And this award would only be for applicants in the following social science fields, so American history, American literature, American studies, anthropology, area studies, art history, creative writing, history, non-US, journalism, language and literature, philosophy, political science, psychology, public administration, and sociology. And so those are also all listed within the award details. I want to underscore here that the Fulbright Commission in Egypt is an incredible resource for applicants as well, and their information is also within the award details. They can help to make contact with appropriate department at the American University in Cairo, and they provide ample support services for U.S. Fulbright scholars while on their grants in Egypt. So then the All Disciplines Award to Tunisia is a 4 to 10 month teaching or combination teaching research opportunity, and it also offers a flex option. And so while all disciplines are welcome for this award, the U.S. Embassy in Tunisia has emphasized that proposals with support Tunisia's democratic and economic development are especially preferred. A letter of invitation is also preferred for this award, though not required. And applications for all locations in Tunisia are welcome. So that said, security considerations will be taken into account when reviewing proposals for other locations within Tunisia. And so teaching is in Arabic or French, with the exception of American Studies, Business, and Law. Applicants should discuss the language of instruction with their proposed host institutions, as French or Arabic may be required. Successful applicants must demonstrate that their language skills are strong enough to excel in their proposed teaching and research. And then lastly for this award, an MBA is sufficient if teaching in business. However, a PhD is required for all other discipline-based projects. And then lastly, moving on to the All Disciplines Award in Qatar. So for Qatar, you can spend 1 or 2 semesters teaching or conducting a combination of teaching and research activities. Research only is not permitted for this award. Qatar University and Hamad bin Khalifa University are eligible host institutions for this award. Other hosts will not be considered. And so if you have, you know, another institution in mind, do note that this award is only open for affiliating with those 2 identified host universities. A PhD and at least 3 years of postdoctoral teaching experience are required for this award. And experience with embedding technologies in the classroom and offering online courses is a major plus for this award. And so then moving on to the opportunities in the Western Hemisphere. Brazil offers an All Disciplines Award as well, and this award, they're seeking to award up to 30 grants available for this All Disciplines Award. So that's a pretty large number when you're looking at other opportunities in the catalog. You can teach, conduct research, or do a combination of teaching and research. You know, as it states, all disciplines, it genuinely means that all academic disciplines are welcome and encouraged to apply. There's a preference for projects that take place outside of Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. And then Brazil is also offering the Fulbright FACEPE Distinguished Chair in STEM and Computer Science. And so this award is co-sponsored by FACEPE, and it's a 4-month award that also offers a flex option, and it supports teaching, research, or again the combination of the two. This is seeking applications in a particular discipline, just as they've been listed here. Preferred specializations are pharmacology, industrial engineering, electronic design, rapid prototyping, and computer-aided manufacturing. Ideal candidates will be expected to apply no earlier than 10 years after having obtained his or her PhD degree. And a letter of invitation is required from an institution in the Brazilian state of Pernambuco. However, FACEPE can refer applicants to potential host institutions. So if you don't have contacts in country, please don't let that deter you. And then the third hidden gem award for Western Hemisphere is going to be the the Multiple Disciplines Award to Trinidad and Tobago. So this is a 4 to 9 month grant opportunity that also offers flex. Again, it's for all three grant activities, for either teaching, conducting research, or the combination of the two. And for this award, you will be hosted at the College of Science, Technology, and Applied Arts of Trinidad and Tobago. A letter of invitation is preferred, but we do have an established contact at the College of Science, Technology, and Applied Arts of Trinidad and Tobago, and so that's listed within the award details. And only applications in the following disciplines will be considered: entrepreneurship, special education, social work, journalism and media studies, information technology, radiography / radiation, therapy, and nursing. Ability to communicate effectively in Spanish is required for this award to Trinidad and Tobago. So now we can move on to the South and Central Asia opportunities.
Thanks, Alexa, and sorry about that with the mouse seems to have a mind of its own, so it was kind of going back and forth. So let's take a look at some of the hidden gems in the South and Central Asia region. And I'd like to start off with India. It's actually our biggest award, so you might not think it's a hidden gem, but I think what I want to point out to you specifically today is that there are 45 grants available, and it is open to academics as well as professionals with enough experience to be experts in their field. So it's also open to early career academics. Now, India is the world's largest democracy and the second most populous country in the world, so it's definitely a very interesting place to come and be a Fulbright scholar. Whether you're studying smart cities or something like Sanskrit and Ayurveda, there's no dearth of opportunities in India. The award is open to projects that are 4 to 9 months in length, and a letter of invitation is optional. At most, all you need to do is indicate a preference for a particular host institution. The commission in Delhi is very supportive, and they will assist you in finding placements. They also are very supportive in making sure that grantees get settled in with their cell phones, with accommodation, ensuring that everyone who's on a grant when it's occurring is able to attend the mid-year conference, not only grantees to India, but grantees within the region. So there's lots of perks in India awaiting for you, and certainly a very fertile academic atmosphere, as well as a very diverse country that's just very open to having Fulbright scholars teach and research. The other opportunity is in Kazakhstan, and this is a unique opportunity in Central Asia. Specifically, the timing of having Americans come over is wonderful, because Kazakhstan recently announced that it has plans to make English a third national language after Kazakh and Russian. So it's a wonderful time to be a Fulbrighter in Kazakhstan and being part of this initiative and contributing to teaching in English and promoting research internationally. So there are up to 5 grants available in Kazakhstan, and once again, a letter of invitation is optional. You're welcome to search the Fulbright Scholar Directory to see where other grantees have been placed within the country. You can also reach out to me, and I can help you in identifying some opportunities there. And then lastly, Sri Lanka, so another country in South Asia off the coast of India, a wonderful place to be a Fulbright scholar. Again, a very supportive commission there in Colombo. And they offer 3 grants to scholars, again, from all disciplines, to teach, research, or do both. A letter of invitation is required, but they do have the commission's contact listed in the award description, and they can assist you not only in getting that letter of invitation, but in identifying a potential host if you haven't identified one yet. The country enjoys political and economic stability. It's growing very, very much in terms of MOUs with universities abroad, and they're very interested in hosting Fulbright scholars. It also, I must say, after visiting there, it has beautiful landscapes, and it's a very nice place to be conducting your research. So some different opportunities here. within the South and Central Asia region. If you have any questions specifically, you'll note our contact address, email address at the top right corner of the slides. Each region has the regional contact, so feel free to email us about any questions.
Great. And now for the East Asia and the Pacific region, we have two awards to Australia that are highlighted here. Australia offers a number of pretty niche awards, meaning they're looking for a particular skill set and area of expertise for applicants. And so they have a number of opportunities, I think 14 it is, which are mostly partnership awards, and so you'll see here for these two awards listed, they are linked to certain universities. So similarly to the American University in Cairo, this opportunity, you would be placed at either Curtin University or Central Queensland University. So to get us started, the Fulbright Scholar Award to Curtin University is open to academics at the level of associate or full professor to conduct research in the areas of resources, energy, and engineering. Located in Perth, Curtin University is a world leader in geoscience and resource engineering research. And so this is really an opportunity for you to contribute to global innovation and growth in these sectors while also advancing your own research skill set. And so a letter of invitation is required for this award. However, a point of contact is listed under the award requirements tab within the catalog of awards. So I would encourage, if you are interested and you kind of fit the bill for this award, I encourage you to reach out to them sooner rather than later with this August 1 deadline fast approaching, and you can discuss your project that you're hoping to conduct while on this opportunity, provide a copy of your CV, and then hopefully if there is, agreed upon kind of, collaboration there, then the point of contact will provide you with a letter of invitation. And so similarly to the Curtin University Award, the Fulbright Senior Award to Central Queensland University is also open to academics at the level of associate or full professor. And this award in particular does seek applications in any and all appropriate fields and appropriate disciplines. So even though it is a partnership award, this one isn't necessarily looking for a specific area of expertise for applicants. So ranked in the top 2% of universities worldwide in the Times Higher Education World University Rankings, the Central Queensland University is strategically focused on engagement and social innovation, undertaking change-maker research, and delivering research impact across its broad geographical footprint. So again, similarly with Curtin University, this award does require a letter of invitation. However, a point of contact is also provided for the appropriate person at Central Queensland University to discuss your project and obtain, again, that required letter of invitation. So as I mentioned before, sooner rather than later, as letters are required for these awards. And now moving on into the Philippines. So the Philippines offers a number of award opportunities as well, and this hidden gem we're highlighting is the U.S.-Philippine Relations Award. So this opportunity is open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia to conduct research on topics relevant to contemporary issues that affect U.S.-Philippine relations for a grant duration of 3 to 4 months at any appropriate institution in the Philippines. While on this grant opportunity, you may be invited to give lectures at multiple Philippine institutions during your grant period as well. Political science is a preferred discipline, and within that, projects are particularly sought within the specializations of democracy, diplomacy, and international relations, and trade economics. So a letter of invitation is not required for this award, and so that shouldn't really slow you down for that August 1 deadline. And your research is able to be conducted in English, so not many people think of the Philippines necessarily for English-speaking country. So this is a great award to really apply to if you are worried about your perhaps lack of language skills.
Okay, and finally moving on to Europe and Eurasia, we have several awards. Keep in mind that the region hosts about half of the awards in the catalog, so we're going to take two slides to discuss some of the hidden gems here. So starting out with Albania, a country we may or may not think about when we're thinking about an award, and if you haven't considered the option, different awards today, I would encourage you to consider the ones here that we're going through. So for Albania, both awards are 4 to 5 months in duration and must begin in February 2020. Albania just celebrated its 104th independence. It's a very hospitable and friendly country in the Balkans. And if you haven't been there, you haven't yet seen the beautiful coastline and traditional villages. It's got beautiful beaches and turquoise waters, et cetera. So it would be a wonderful opportunity to enjoy the atmosphere of the country as well as conduct research. Fun fact that the U.S. Embassy building in Tirana is one of the oldest embassies in the world, and the public affairs staff ensures that Fulbrighters have a great experience in the country. So the two awards that they offer do list specific host locations, host universities. So for the International Security Studies Award, the host is the Ismail Kemali University in Vellore. A letter of invitation is preferred, but you're still able to submit the application without one. And we do have the contact information for the award, letter of invitation listed in the award description. And then another one, the Interfaith Religious Communication Award, the host institution is Beder University in Tirana. And this is a perfect university to host this award because it is a leader in interfaith dialogue and has academic cooperation with the Muslim community in Albania and other religious higher education institutions. So two unique opportunities in Albania. And then moving on to Belarus, if you specialize in economics or business administration, and you're having trouble securing a letter of invitation elsewhere, this might be a good fit for you if you're an academic or a professional with experience and you have a PhD. So a letter of invitation is optional for this award, and the embassy in Minsk is particularly interested in proposals related to marketing, finance, investments, multinational corporations, management, and organizational behavior. And under this grant, grantees will teach business administration courses to undergrads or MBA students and consult on curriculum development and advising faculty. So a wonderful opportunity there. And then moving on to France, this is a unique opportunity for scholars to go in a particular region of France. But let me just point out, when you're looking at the awards in France, you'll notice that there are some partner awards and then some awards that are partnered with a particular region. So the award in France, the Grande Regional Award, is one opportunity to host scholars to teach and research in France. And more information can be found in the award description, and you can reach out to us if you have any questions, particularly about France. The host must be a French university, and so if you're looking at opportunities in France, for, you know, at affiliating with not-for-profits or research centers, that wouldn't be possible. Most of the awards in France are with French universities. Moving on to Kosovo, we have a fun fact about Kosovo. As the newest country in Europe, they just celebrated their 10th independence anniversary. And again, like Albania, neighboring Albania, they're very hospitable towards Americans. The population of Kosovo, 60% of it is under the age of 25, so a very youthful population, lots of students. And the embassy in Pristina gives great support and resources to Fulbrighters to get them connected and situated in country. This research opportunity allows the scholar to research and access internal processes and procedures of the Ministry of Education, Science and Technology. So it's a unique opportunity for scholars to work and collaborate directly with the ministry, with the government officials. The scholar is encouraged to advise on technology developments, including improving the financial and institutional infrastructure to support these developments. So a unique award opportunity new this year, so we wanted to point that out. And then finally, the Ukraine Award in Environmental Sciences. It provides academics and professionals the opportunity to teach and research either in agriculture, biological sciences, environmental sciences, and the flex option is available for this. So we had a question, let me just intersperse that now that we're talking about flex. The flex option is typically for research projects that require more than one visit to the country. And the parameters of the flex allow the scholar to conduct the research not just during that one academic year, but over two consecutive academic years. So the awards that we're discussing today in the catalog are for the academic year 2019-2020. If you're opting for flex, and again, this is only if your research project requires it, or perhaps your schedule it only allows you to make short visits, then you do need to justify why you're applying for a flex, but the flex option will allow you to carry out 2 to 3 visits over 2 academic years. So we can discuss that a little more in length and show you what those parameters look like, but you'll note that in the award description. So there's quite a few awards in the catalog that do have the flex option. So be sure to take a look. It's typically just offered for the research activity in the grant. Okay? All right. And moving on, we have the awards to Norway, and there's quite a few, and the awards to Norway are actually quite niche, so we're looking for some very specific profiles, but these are unique and wonderful opportunities. So I'd like to start out with the first one, the Advanced International Studies at the Nobel Institute. This is part of the Norwegian Nobel Institute's Visiting Fellows Program. And so it's in collaboration with Fulbright, and it invites selected scholars to work and live in Oslo to carry out advanced studies in the realm of international affairs. So it's a three-month grant, a research grant, and it's focused on projects in history, economics, and political science. For this, a letter of invitation should not be sought, so that's one less thing you have to do. So you just apply, and you're not required to contact them or elicit a letter of invitation. And then the Fulbright Arctic Chair. So again, this is a unique opportunity given Norway's geographic situation. So this is a research and teaching grant. It's a Distinguished Chair Award, and within the areas that are relevant to understanding the Arctic and the High North regions. So the chair is expected to engage with faculty within and outside of the host institution, give public lectures, lead seminars, as well as supervise and mentor master's and PhD students with their research and writing. The Arctic Chair grant, keep in mind, is not just limited to natural sciences. We encourage applicants from social sciences and humanities and any projects that contribute towards improving and expanding our understanding of the Arctic region. So again, a chair award, if you have questions about that, a chair award is a little different from the other awards. These are for senior scholars with an impressive record of teaching and publications. And then moving on to the International Courts and Tribunals, this is a 4 to 9 month research award focused on a variety of legal specializations. The Plura Court Center studies the legitimate roles of the judiciary and the global order. So the host is the Pluricourts Center. The focus is on international courts and tribunals in criminal law, in the environment, human rights, investment and trade, and scholars in law, political science, and philosophy are encouraged to apply. Moving on, we have another unique opportunity in digital culture. So this is a 5 to 10 month teaching and research grant. It's hosted at the University of Bergen. and it focuses on digital culture, specifically relating to electronic literature and digital media aesthetics and critical approaches to technology. So a letter of invitation is preferred, but again, it's not required to apply and submit the application. And then lastly, the American Literature and Culture Award, it's a 5 to 10 month grant, and it offers the opportunity to focus on an area of American literature or culture. A letter of invitation from the host university is optional, and candidates can teach or teach and conduct research during the length of the grant. All right, so those were a few of the hidden gems that we wanted to highlight today. As we approach the deadline, we understand a lot of you are also concerned about how you can get that competitive edge to your application. How can you improve your project statement, et cetera? So we want to help you with that. And we've got some bullet points here on the slide that will assist you in just that. So number one, the key thing here is to also consider why you're applying for a Fulbright Scholar Grant, okay? So we understand, unlike other grant bodies and institutions that are providing research opportunities and funding, this is also, you know, there's two missions here. One, of course, is to promote research and teaching abroad, but the other is to promote cultural diplomacy and culture, to, you know, intercultural relationships, and really that serving, having Americans serve as cultural ambassadors abroad. So that cultural diplomacy mission is really at the heart of the Fulbright Scholar Program. So it's important that you address the Fulbright goal of promoting mutual understanding abroad. Why are you interested in Fulbright, and why that particular country, right? So those are the things that we'd like to see in the project statement at some point. And then, of course, along the way, we'd like to see how you discuss your professional expertise and skills and how they relate to the desired profile in the award, and how you as a qualified applicant are the best person to conduct the research or carry out the activity that you're proposing, whether it's teaching, research, or a combination of both, and how the host institution is a good fit for this project, how they'll benefit, et cetera. We mentioned the cultural diplomacy. It's important to also discuss your ability to adapt and be flexible to changing situations or just being in a different environment. When you leave your campus or your home institution, or if you're an independent scholar, you know, leaving the U.S. and going abroad, whether you land up in Sri Lanka or in Australia or what have you, things might not plan out according to what you might imagine. So kind of addressing how you'd be able to adapt and be flexible during your grant. And then last but not least, we like to see details about the proposed or the potential outcome and the impact, speaking about the multiplier effect of your grant, not that the experience ends when you get back on the plane to the U.S. We're very interested in hearing about the impact at the host institution or in the host country, the impact it has on your professional profile and trajectory, and the impact at your home institution, how it'll continue either with future collaborations, future publications, different linkages, or promoting international study on your campus, something that you can tell us about how this, you know, the legacy of your Fulbright grant when you come back. So those are some of the pointers that we have in submitting a competitive application. We also have application, like a guidelines with all the checklists that we'll be showing you as well. We want to also shed some light on the timeline, the whole process that occurs after August 1st. So as you are aware, the deadline to apply for this year, for the academic year of 2019-2020, the deadline is August 1st. This year. So that's just a couple weeks away, coming up. After August 1st, once we receive all of the applications, we conduct a technical review for completeness and eligibility. If there's anything missing in your application, we will write to you and ask you to submit it within a certain time frame. Then in September, the discipline-specific committees convene and they review applications according to the discipline. And then from September to early November, the peer review committees convene in Washington, D.C. and review applications based on region. So This might be a group of, you know, the panel might include reviewers from across disciplines. So that's why we always mention it's important to have your project statement reviewed and kind of proofread by your colleagues within your discipline as well as outside of your discipline. The peer review committees then either recommend or not recommend applications for final review in country at the Fulbright Commissions abroad or the U.S. embassies. From November to January, applicants are then notified of their status if they're recommended or not, and also if you're recommended, those recommended applications then go for review by the Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board, otherwise known as FFSB. From February to May, grantees are then notified of their selection or not, so they'll be notified of where they are. And then from May to June, we collect information from you. We send out the grantee packets and prepare you either for a U.S. pre-departure orientation or for the countries that have large commissions abroad, the in-country orientation that will take place. So this gives you an idea that it is somewhat of a long process. If you have commitments at your home institution to teach, et cetera, I would say if you receive notification between November and January, typically in December, we send out the notifications, whether you've been recommended for the final review, that might be a good opportunity, a good time to communicate to your department that you are in the final round of review and there's a good chance that you might be on a grant in the fall or spring of the following year. All right, but the final, again, final notifications come out anywhere starting in February to as late as May. So that'll be when you are notified if you are selected or not. As I mentioned, we have several application resources online. This webinar will be archived within a few days. However, if you don't want to wait that long, you're able to click on all of these things, just take note, and you'll find them readily available on the website. You can also email us, and we'll send you the links. We have sample project statements, sample CVs, syllabi that you can take a look at. We have the application instructions in a PDF document. It'll go page by page and show you what you need to do on the application. Otherwise, we're also offering webinars. There's three webinars this month starting tomorrow that are application walkthrough and virtual advising sessions. And you're able to join in those. It's kind of open Q&A. We'll have the application open, and we'll walk you through that. Last but not least, we ask you to check out our blog. We've got some great stories of scholars who've returned from their grants from all over the world. And so it's fun to read through their stories and see what they've done and what made the biggest impact while they were abroad. And if you haven't done so already, we ask that you connect with us on My Fulbright. You can get notifications about upcoming webinars, new awards, things like that. The deadline is certainly coming up, so logging into the website and checking things out, kind of bookmarking everything, would be a great way to get started. And we just put up some basic Q&As here. We're going to turn to the questions now that have been coming in. But if you're asking yourself how can you contact us, we did have the regional contact listed there. So it's essentially europeeurasia@iie.org, South and Central Asia at iie.org. So just basically once you find the award that you're interested in, you'll note on the right side of the award description the program staff name and email address and phone number, okay? Deadline, of course, August 1st, so the application must be received by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. And how many applications do we get? We get that question often. What is the success rate? Well, we're unable to actually share that information due to FFSB policy. Can I apply to two or more awards in the same competition? And the answer is no. We can only accept one application per person per competition. Keep in mind, if you've received an award in the past 2 years, there must be a 2-year waiting period from the time that you completed your grant to the time that you apply for a grant. So it's got to be that exact 24-month waiting period. So now let's turn, Alexa, if you want to take maybe the first question that's come in, and then we can go back and forth and see what other questions the audience has.
Sure, yeah. And thank you all for submitting some questions while we were going throughout the presentation. Please do feel free to continue writing those inquiries in. So one in particular was it wasn't really a question, more of a request to highlight Austria in particular. And so, you know, this whole webinar, we're not going to go through each opportunity available to each country because that just simply would be very boring and super time intensive. So what I would encourage you to do, if you are interested in a particular country, do utilize the catalog of awards basic search functionality and see what is available to that country in particular. And for Austria specifically, there are a number of awards, over 25 award opportunities to Austria. So that is definitely an example of a country in which you should definitely deep dive into those award opportunities and also perhaps do some additional advanced filtering within the catalog to make it easier to identify the awards that fit your professional background and expertise. And so we did just get another inquiry about Nigeria in particular. So again, just go ahead and access the catalog of awards to see what award opportunities are listed for those particular countries in question. And so, yes, Nigeria is a country that we have a program established in, and so I encourage you to take a look at those award details. And thank you. We are getting some more questions coming in, so do just bear with us for a moment while we take a look at them.
Okay, we've got a question on, do you have sample letters of recommendation, and what do you want to see in a letter of recommendation? And the answer to that is we do have guidance on our website, and in fact, I'm going to try and switch over to the, hang on, let's go over here and go over here to our homepage, and you'll click on, in fact, let's go show you this is the main page, and I want to point out the catalog of awards, and if you just want to click here, search all awards, and I'm just going to click on the first one that I see just to show you what it looks like. So you'll note here the information and the different tabs, if a letter of invitation is required or not, what are the other requirements in terms of degree, and you'll note the program staff contact information. So in terms of what we're looking for in letters of recommendation, I clicked on the application guidelines, and you'll see here, let this be your helper in terms of the checklist. So I'm going to click on teaching and research awards because the list is complete here, the full list. And I'm able to see the application instructions, get the link to the online application. A lot of people who've started applications in the past, I think, are having difficulty because they're going to the wrong link. Be sure to click on this link here. And you'll see some project statement samples and guidance there. And you'll also see the reference letter TIFF. So one of the questions we've been receiving a lot is applicants see in the application just two fields to enter two contacts. But you need to click on a little plus sign and add the third contact. If I click here, you can see the TIFFs and what we hope to see in the letters here. So if this helps you in any way, we do anticipate if someone is doing a teaching grant, we certainly need to see at least one letter speaking to the applicant's teaching ability and experience. If it's a research grant, then we want to see a diverse array of recommenders speaking about the applicant's research capabilities and experience. And for teaching and research grants, we want to see a little bit of both. So I hope this assists you in understanding what we're looking for. All the references must be in English. They must be uploaded by the referee into our system. We're not able to accept any emailed letters of recommendation. And you may submit your application before the letters have come in because they will be added on their own. So if you're done with your application, for example, but you're waiting for your referees, not to worry, you can still submit. So I hope that helps. Let's go back to the checklist again and see what other questions we have.
Thanks, Michelle. So we did have another question about recommendations and how those letters are submitted, and thanks for walking us through that, Michelle. So again, I just want to reiterate, you will add your referee contact info in the online application system, and then your referees will upload their letters of support on your behalf. So they are actively uploading it to the application system. And so we did get another question regarding postdoc experience. And so again, this answer will depend on the particular award that you are interested in. However, our postdoctoral award opportunities are generally for those who have recently completed their doctoral degree, and that's going to be typically within the previous 5 years. So anything more than five, you're likely not going to be a fit for the postdoctoral award opportunity, and you're looking at more of an early career applicant profile. And again, that will depend on the award in particular. Some awards require that you haven't conferred your doctorate prior to a certain date, and all of that information is within the award requirements tab of the award details. So you'll always just want to make sure you are meeting those additional qualifications as well. And along those same lines, received another inquiry about must I be employed with an institution before applying, and no, but it will depend on the award as well. So many of our award opportunities are open to professionals outside of academia, so you don't have to be in academia in order to apply for an award opportunity. And so, again, within those catalog of awards, advanced search features, you're able to kind of to filter out based on your professional profile to see what awards are open to you as an applicant.
Okay, great. So let's take a look. We had a question, where can we find the scholar directory? So that's good. Let's go back here. We were on the main page. Oh. And it's just right next to the catalog tab. So we can click here, and if you are interested in looking to see where U.S. scholars have gone, for example, to Armenia, for example, we can click here and see the information, what that person's discipline was, and their host institution in that country. And if you're interested, you could also see what project they did, the title of the project. So the directory is a great way to understand where scholars have been placed in the past. It's by no means a requirement that you affiliate with these particular hosts, especially if the award description does say any appropriate institution, but at least gives you an idea, and you can perhaps reach out to them and see if you are able to get a contact or a connection if you haven't been able to do so thus far. All right, let's go back to our guidelines here, and let's see what other questions are coming in. Are there awards open to early career professionals? So actually, let me just go back to our catalog, and if we do click on the search here and go to categories, we can click open to early career scholars and then do the search. And you'll see 280 awards, so that's more than half of the catalog. We also have specific postdoc awards that you can search for as well, and those I can actually point out on a separate page. If you click on programs, scholars, and then core, you'll see postdoc early career. And these are the featured awards. There's 15 postdoc early career awards that are specific to candidates who have received their PhD in the last 5 years.
And I do just want to note while we're on this page, because we received another a question come in for PhD students, are most awards available to candidates with an expected graduation on or before 2019? And so exactly how Michelle navigated to this page, I would encourage you to take a look at the award opportunities here. Some do require you to have your PhD conferred at the time of application, so that would be August 1st, 2018. However, some do state that they are, as long as you have your PhD or other terminal degree by the date of your proposed grant start, then that's acceptable as well. So you'll just want to check in here. And yes, while we're on the topic of PhDs and other terminal degrees, I do want to say, you know, a JD is considered a terminal degree. And if you have any kind of questions or concerns about your degree and whether it is a determined terminal degree, or if you just have a question if you're eligible for the award in particular, please don't hesitate to reach out to those appropriate program staff people who are, you know, familiar with the region and the award opportunities listed within the catalog.
Great. And we've gotten a couple questions about the deadline for the letters of reference. So the deadline for the application is August 1st. Now, if you anticipate that it'll take a couple of extra days if your referees are traveling or they're not able to access the internet, please email us and let us know. As I mentioned, the month of August is when we conduct the technical reviews and ensure that the applications are complete. So if your application is not complete at the time of the deadline, we need to know when you anticipate the letters. We understand it's not necessarily within your control, but you do need to be communicating with your referees and ensuring that even though your application is submitted by August 1st, we need to get those in as close to August 1st as possible. Otherwise, when the committees review them, it would be considered ineligible if you do not have those. So please get them in by August 1st if possible.
Wonderful. Great. Well, I do want to be cognizant of the time, and we are coming up to the end of this webinar session. Another quick note and a question I received is just email to you. So again, Michelle, would you mind just navigating to just the program staff person and where viewers and applicants can find that information?
Sure. So we're going to go to the page here where it says contact us, and you can see all of the regional program staff emails are here. So depending on where your award is, please contact us here, and the designated staff, so Alexa, for example, covers East Asia and Pacific. I cover the South and Central Asia region as well as some parts of Europe. So we're here to help you and answer any of your questions. Please consider the emails right here. Take note, and they're also available on the particular award description. So on that note, I think we should wrap it up. We've reached the 3 o'clock hour. So again, Alexa and I want to thank you for attending the webinar today. We've covered just a smattering of awards that what we call the hidden gems, ones that you may or may not have considered. It is by no means a full reflection of the award offerings available. If you're interested in a country that we did not cover, please check out our awards catalog. I'm sure you'll find it there. And in the meantime, in the next 2.5 weeks before, now it's just 2 weeks, in the next 2 weeks before the application is due, starting tomorrow, we are hosting a webinar on the application walkthrough, so you can join us for that. You can sign up here at the bottom of the page when you scroll down. The webinar schedule is here. We have 3 application walkthroughs lined up, July 18th tomorrow, July 25th, and July 30th. So feel free to join us for that. And keep in mind, this webinar has been recorded and will be archived probably either by Friday or Monday next week. But if you have any questions, please email us in between. Thank you very much, and all the best to you on your application. Bye-bye.